Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, over the hill from my parents' former house is a grave. It sits in the horse pasture on a gentle northern slope. Wyoming pine trees cast their shadows over the state line and guard this small rectangle of barbed wire cordoned off from horses and cattle. A metal plaque with a single name peeks out of the undergrowth, out of the weeds and the grass. Albert. For the most part, Albert's name and his grave is forgotten. Occasionally, aging family members pull into the house's driveway and make the trek over the hill to contemplate the name on the plaque. But for my sister and me, who roamed the horse pasture with American Girl dolls and Nerf guns, the name had no meaning. It was simply letters engraved on metal. And as an adult, I feel the sadness of that grave. All that is left of Albert is a name. The weeds, the sagebrush, and the waving fronds of grass hold court as the grasshoppers and spiders argue their cases beside the impersonal metal letters. And as I think about the future, I ponder my own grave. Will that be my fate someday? Will my life have mattered, or will it be forgotten? A success, or will I just be a name on a plaque somewhere, a few letters etched into metal? And I know I'm not alone in asking those sorts of questions. We've all pondered them at one moment or another. And this evening, we make that same trek over the hill to ponder another grave, a grave with a single name peeking out of the overgrown weeds and grass, Bartholomew. A metal plaque from the Gospel writers is all that we have of his forgotten life. St. Mark writes, "And Jesus went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 to be with him and to be sent out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. Simon, whom he surnamed Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, whom he surnamed Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him." And right there in verse 18 is the plaque. Bartholomew. The barbed wire of the disciple list cordons off the marker in Scripture's horse pasture. Aside from this name, we know nothing about Bartholomew. There are no stories in the Bible about the man, nothing about his life. It's a few scattered legends of variable quality. In fact, in our lectionary, as you may have noticed, at a loss for any texts, it lumps him into just generic stories about the apostles or the disciples. All that is left of Bartholomew is an engraved name. And so it's easy for those of us who roam through Scripture with our American Girl dolls and our Nerf guns to walk past his plaque and see only letters with no meaning. A life forgotten. A person unknown. St. Bartholomew is only a name. And we wonder, did his life matter? Was it a success? Well, there's one beautiful thing about that grave over the hill from my parents' former house. that grave nestled on the northern slope in the horse pasture, a small sign that the life buried there was not wasted or forgotten. Every spring, irises bloom beside that engraved plaque. The tiny splashes of purple defy the sagebrush to make a sign of love, to mark out love. Someone loved Albert. Someone planted those delicate flowers to sign love stronger than death. Albert belongs to me. I love Albert. And this evening, the irises also bloom beside Bartholomew's name. Listen again to St. Mark's account. And Jesus went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him. And he appointed 12 to be with him and to be sent out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. And then the list of the names, one of which is Bartholomew. Jesus planted these tiny splashes of purple beside Bartholomew's name. Jesus called Bartholomew. Jesus desired that Bartholomew be with him. Jesus sent Bartholomew out to preach and to exorcise demons. To put it simply, Jesus loved Bartholomew. Jesus planted those delicate flowers as a sign, to sign a love stronger than death. Bartholomew belongs to me. I love Bartholomew. All we have is his name, and yet with the irises, it is enough, because Jesus marks him out as loved. And so this evening, as we look down the corridors of time and ponder our own graves, we see irises blooming beside each of our names. Jesus calls us. Jesus desires us to be with him. Jesus loves us. You. Me. And love, says Scripture, is stronger than death. Jesus plants beside each of our names tiny splashes of purple that defy the sagebrush, the towering burdock, and the tobacco-spitting grasshoppers. When we die, our lives will probably not be world-changing. There will probably be no great monuments to our industry or our intelligence or whatever. Our remains will most likely sink into the earth forgotten, overshadowed. And yet our lives will have mattered, and they will still matter, because Jesus loves us. As aging relatives make fewer and fewer visits to our graves, the irises will still bloom every spring, bloom beside our names, names known and loved by the triune God. The Catechism at the back of our prayer book highlights those irises beside our names with its first two questions and answers. The priest asks, "What is your name?" The disciple answers with their name, "Who gave you this name?" "My sponsors in baptism, wherein I was made a member of Christ, the child of God, and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven." At our baptisms, Jesus planted irises beside our names. He called us to follow him, and so we will never be forgotten. Our lives are never a failure, because Jesus loves us, both now and forever. And this is the good news, that we belong in body and soul to our faithful, loving Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.